Our gathering today at the table of bread is Matthew's Gospel. We're in the 14th chapter, beginning at verse 22. I'm reading from the King James. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray, and when the evening was come, he was there alone. Verse 24 of the 14th chapter of the book of Matthew. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be you, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And when he saw the winds boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. Have you declared those words? Have you asked the Lord to save you? If you are this morning, say amen. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased, and they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Father, we just asked for the anointing to share, to receive, to hear what the Spirit hath to say. And we pray this morning that, Lord, your grace will be upon each of us so that we will have an intimate, passionate desire to journey closer to you in these days. And Lord, help us to step out of the parameters of our security blanket and trust you for greater things. Help us to walk on water this day. We ask in the name of Christ. And all the people said, Amen. You may be seated. At the conclusion of a service, I'm going to ask you to join me post-haste to come and stand at this altar session. A few moments that we're going to spend together. We want to challenge ourselves today that we will be people that will step out in faith and believe God for greater things. God is not looking for superheroes. He's just looking for qualified, simple men and women who will do his will. When we view the lifestyle of Peter, we find him to be a fisherman by vocation, fishing for fish. But in his encounter with Christ, he became a fisherman for lost souls of men. Peter was a man that had many character flaws. He had chinks in his spiritual armor. We know that he's the ear slicer in John 18, the wheat shifter in Luke 22, the cock crowing curser in Matthew 14, the impetuous truder in Mark 14. With all these blemishes, notice what happened in Matthew 16. Jesus said, Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Human polarity today is torn in a world of intellectualism. We're seeing the insecurity that it breeds even in the church. The great force is against the church today, and the enemy is coming in all fashions and facets. Today, Christians are being criticized, being held in mockery, even in the midst of our Supreme Court, our Congress. Folks, it doesn't matter if you're Democrat or Republican or Tea Party or Independent. Hell is out to destroy you, but if God be for us, who can be against us? And God is looking for Christians to step out of the parameters of their comfort zone. Folks, this is not time to put it on cruise control. This is time to press in and believe God, because there are generations that are following us, and if there's not an example, if there's not a standard, if there's not their ability to be placed before them, there will be no challenge for them to move from where they are at. How many are glad somebody prayed for you? How many are glad some preacher talked to you straight? How many are glad somebody prayed for you and lifted you up? And Hebrews says, He, Christ, ever liveth to make intercession for us. Somebody's praying for the church today. Folks, it's not over. I said, the third story has not been told yet. As Paul Harvey says, there's still something to be said. How many are glad, folks, the church is going to rise in triumph? Reach out in your spirit today in the midst of darkness. The light shines even greater. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. With scriptural proof today, we must consider that Peter truly was a man of faith. And with all his rough edges, Peter did a mighty work for the Lord. And I want us to view that view today. For when we see what Peter did when he stepped out of the boat and he came to Christ, that Peter walked on the waters where the Master walked. He walked on the waters where no other man walked. And he walked where miracles are wrought. How many are glad, folks, that same message is relevant to us in the church today. That if we will step out of the parameters of our own selfness and move in the dynamic of the Holy Spirit, go in faith, something will happen, folks. We will see resources rekindled. We'll see miracles take place. We will feel the touch and the anointing of the presence of God, and God will bring victory to the church again. Folks, I read the end of the book. We're not the losers. I said we're the head that gains in righteousness and victory. And when Peter was in that ship, a seasoned mariner, knowing the plight that was before him in the natural realm, something stirred up in his spirit, and he reached out and he said, Jesus, if it's you, bid me to come on the water. Folks, the Holy Spirit is calling the church out of darkness. It's calling the church out of unrighteousness. It's calling the church out of sin. It's calling it into righteousness and holiness. If that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, He shall quicken your body. Folks, it's time for the church to walk on some waters that are unstable in the natural realm, but in the realm of the Spirit, they are a solid foundation, because where Jesus walks, you and I can walk. How many are glad when Peter stepped out of the boat, he walked where the Master walked? This morning, we want to trace the footsteps for just a few moments concerning Christ. When Jesus came to this planet, he walked all over Galilee, Samaria, and Judea, and all that place called, we will call it collectively, Galilee. Wherein he walked in Galilee, and Peter was with him for 3 years, so he had footsteps right next to Jesus. Folks, when he came to Nain, Jesus stopped the funeral procession, and a young man was raised from the dead. I said, somebody can raise somebody from the dead. I'm looking at a lady I've been married to 54 years that was in the morgue. And when they came to tag her toe in Pensacola, Florida, so folks, something happened. That nurse was stirred when the anointing came upon her, and God brought her back because she was to be in this service this morning 54 years later or so. Why? Because there is someone who is resurrection and power. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm not talking about Amway stocks and bonds and mutual funds and good retirement programs. I'm talking about eternity that is ours to be gained and ours to have because of Jesus Christ giving it all to us. And all he says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus walked, and folks, miracles were happening, and he raised the dead. He came to Cana, and he changed water into wine. He met those men called lepers, and tended of them were cured. He's the healing deliverer. I said he is the solitude. He is the righteous one. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. The Ancient of Days. Excuse me, folks. It's my Lutheran Baptist background coming out of me this morning. Why? Because of the Holy Spirit, we go forth in power and might and dominion. And God is calling the church to step out. Step up. Stand up and declare the righteousness of God. Folks, if we speak not, this world will pass away. Hell will be full. But if we will pray, if we will intercede, if we'll walk where the Master walks, something will happen. The people in the boat, in the church, and in the world will have to declare there is a solitude and there is an answer. There is righteousness. There is victory. There is hope in the name of the Lord. Can you give Him praise with your hands this morning? This is not the end. This is just the beginning of what God has for the church of righteousness. He walked in Galilee. He raised the dead. He came to Jericho, and the blindness of Bartimaeus dissolved. He came to the pool of Bethesda, and the man that was crippled and lame rose up, leaping, praising, and walking. When we stand forth and step out of the parameters of ourself and come to Jesus, something happens, folks. We'll walk where the Master walks. You have confidence that if you're walking with Him, I said there will not be a peril that can take you. There'll be no demon in hell. There'll be no drug that will take away your life. Folks, I want you to hear me. They shall take up serpents and snakes, and it will not harm them when they go in the power of faith, when they go in the power and the might of the Spirit, when they're walking in the right place. Don't walk in the flesh, but walk in the Spirit. I said, live in the high life of Jesus. He came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Peter walked where the Master walked. It's so important this morning for us to catch that. Folks, he walked where Jesus walked. There's security when you're hand in hand, footstep with footstep, lockstep with Jesus. When you're in His presence, I said hell has to be shunned. The devil goes out the back door. He gets out of your face and your space when you get in the dynamic of the Holy Spirit. That's why we come to church, assemble ourselves together, not as the manner of some doing in these last days, but we come with a purpose to meet with the living God, the power of the Holy Spirit. All through this building, our angels this morning, they're here because we're the property of God. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him. How many are glad somebody's in your tent? How many are glad somebody's in your corner? How many are glad somebody's in your space? And it's the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of the Spirit of the living God. Give Him praise this morning. He is worthy of praise. I was raised in a Canadian home, and I want to tell you about a experience I had at 5 years of age. My dad had a building company that he was building triplexes, apartments, and with that he had a big plastering company. He had many men working for him, and today we don't understand what plastering's all about because we have sheetrock and wooden crown molding. But in Canada, all of those beautiful swirls, all that crown molding, all that decoration in the homes and the walls that were just smooth like glass were put there by men who had learned a skill. And my dad had a big company, and so several men worked, and they worked long hours. And he had that company such with men that just loved to be around my dad because he paid them and he didn't curse them and he blessed them and he did things of that nature. And they showed up for work and he had 30 or 35 waiting to take the apprenticeship to become a plasterer. On Fridays, he would fill the work for a couple hours doing the last minute details. And at 11 o'clock, he'd get out the checkbook and start writing out all the checks for those that worked for him, and when it was 12 o'clock, they were free to go and do what they wanted. My dad worked so industriously and was an outdoorsman. He was a trapper in the early days. He trapped mink, lynx, he had bear, whatever. He hunted, fished, and he enjoyed that lifestyle. And so with a hard week, he always took Friday afternoon off to go to the lake somewhere in the summer. In the winter time, it was deer hunting, elk hunting, whatever. And when they finished up at 12 o'clock, Dad always had a big group of men saying, where are we going fishing this time? Now hear this, folks. On Sunday morning, Dad never sent us with Mom to church, but he always showed up and took us to the house of the Lord. Folks, when you walk with Jesus, I said the house of the Lord is important. I said when you walk with Jesus, the Word is not only transparent, but it is convincing. I said when you walk with Jesus, you pray, because you see, He not only went to Galilee, but He went to Gethsemane. He went to Golgotha, and then He went to glory. Hear me, church, this morning, when you walk where the Master walks, there's victory in your soul, there's hope in your life. I said there's deliverance that comes in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because He has no peers. I said He has no peers. I'm here glad. The end product is this: Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. If that's your accolade of praise, lift your hand and worship Him in this place today and say, blessed be the name of the Lord, our living God. Dad came to me at 5 years of age. He said, Wes, tomorrow morning you and I are going on a hunting trip together. I said, who's all going? And I started naming all the guys that I always go with Dad. He said, no, it's you and me alone. I want you to know I went from being 5 years of age to being 21 years old. I'm going to spend quality time with my dad. He said, it's the last of the duck season, and he said, it's been snowing, and I know a bend in the river, and we're going to have to leave very early in the morning, so get to bed early. And he said, we're going to go shoot those ducks. They're just waiting. Those mallards, they're paddling all night to keep the waters open because of the temperature being so cold. I want you to know, folks, that night I went to bed early. I laid there all night long, and I did not sleep. I anticipated being alone with my dad. I now get to sit in the front of the truck right next to Dad. I mean, he's the boss. He's the great hunter. He's the great one. Are you sitting with the Master in heavenly places in Christ Jesus? I'm here glad you don't get the back seat, but you get to move up to the front seat. Somebody praise Him. Our whole history in America has been touched upon somebody who sat in the back of the bus. But I want you to know, as a Christian, we move forward. I said we have the opportunity for Him to pilot our ship, and we sit co-pilot. I'm here glad for Jesus today. Is He calling the shots? Yes, in the name of the Lord. I heard my mother come down the hallway. I had prepared myself because it was cold. It was below zero almost. It was getting so super cold. I had put on those flannel things with a flap in the back. You folks here in Texas don't know what all that's about. That's that kind of insulated underwear that you need. I rose up. I heard Mom coming down the hall. In a few minutes, I could hear the sizzling of that bacon in that pan. I could hear the thumping of the coffee percolator going, and the pop of the toaster. I sat down at that table. I'm wide-eyed, bushy-tailed. I washed the sleep off of my face, and I sat there waiting for Dad. Dad comes down the hall now, and folks, he's not quite as excited as I am. He's yawning a little bit, running his hand through his hair. Why? Because, folks, he's done this before, but for me, it's a new occasion. For me, it's a new experience, and I can't wait. I'm now sitting with my father. I'm Big Daddy's boy, and I'm so happy to be there. I look at the food that he has on his plate. Mom walks up to me in her motherly feminine way and says, Wes, would you like a piece of toast and a little milk? I looked right over Dad's plate. I saw two eggs over easy, three strips of bacon, two things called toast, and I saw his coffee black. I said, ma'am, I'll take what Dad has, and I drank that coffee, folks. I not only had adrenaline flowing from my little mind, but I got a rush on the caffeine, and I want you to know I was high and mighty. Sometimes we get so excited to what God's doing, and we fail to realize it's a preparation that He's given to us. Come on, church. I said this is not the end of the story. Inflation may be rampant. Sin may abound, but where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. The darker it gets, the lighter the counsel of God is. Somebody rise up in your spirit. Somebody step out in faith. Someone let the declaration of your faith be known among the nations and among the people. We got going down the road in a 3/4-ton Fargo truck. It had running boards. It had been used to carrying all kinds of plaster planks and all kinds of concrete in the back, but we sat up high and mighty. When we got to that play in the gray of the morning, the snow was falling. I'm looking out there, and Dad jumps out, and when I come off the running board, I sink up into the snow this deep. Dad reaches out and gets the snowshoes. We put them on. I'm now like a mummy with all my paraphernalia on, and now I'm walking. Dad says, hurry up. He grabbed that 12-gauge shotgun, and he said, we've got to get to the river. It's not too far ahead. Those ducks are going to fly immediately as soon as there's enough light. And so in the distance gray, we began to walk. I'm still on caffeine. I'm still on adrenaline, but about 100 yards. I'm sweating profusely, and I can't keep up with Dad. Hear me, folks. We're still human, but we go in the might and the power of the Spirit. How many are glad for the Holy Ghost is more for than just rattling tambourines and going around the church and feeling goosebumps? I said, folks, it is the anointing that breaks the yoke and the power of the Spirit. If that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, he shall quicken your body. I kept up, and finally I turned to Dad and said, as he said, come on, son, you got to keep pace. I said, I can't do it any longer. He saw my plight. He said, you sit right here. It's not very far. I'm going to go ahead. We can't come on this journey all this way and spend this time and money and energy and not even get a chance. He said, you sit right here and I'll be right back. I went from 21 to 14 back to 5. All of a sudden, I realize I'm alone. And behind every bush, I could hear the whisper of the wind and the howl of the wolf that Jack London had written about. And in my plight, what little energy I had, I got up and I started in the direction of my dad, trying to find him. The elements were so gray and dismal, and the snow was coming down, and I was tired and weak, and I couldn't find him. What seemed like an eternity, maybe 10, 15 minutes at the most, I was so fearful of what was going to happen. I was still in a 5-year-old body, a 5-year-old mind. But folks, you and I have come into the dynamic of the knowledge of the living Christ. We have the ability to have the mind of Christ, and no longer are we fear-driven, but we are faith-oriented. Come on, when the doctor says there's no more surgery, there's no more pills. When the attorney says there's no more law. When the banker says there's no more collateral, there's no more funds. How many are glad for Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, says, I can handle it. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest in your soul. I looked for Dad here, and I looked for Dad there, and I was in peril. Tears were in my eyes. I was fighting the freezing of the hour, and I didn't know what to do. When all of a sudden, I heard a voice that said, Wes. I looked up. My dad standing there with that 12-gauge shotgun, Mallard Drake's hanging all over his body. 6'2" plus, near 200 pounds. I looked up at him. Instead of smiling, say, whew, I screwed up my nose, and this is what I did. I said, Dad, why did you leave me? How many times do we screw up our nose and blame God for our circumstances? Simply because we have failed to operate in faith, but let fear dictate our decisions, our choices, our journey. In calm assurance, Dad just turned to me and said, Son, if you never learned anything in life, I'm going to teach you a lesson of life. This is what he said. He said, Son, if you'd have followed my footprints in the snow, you would have found me. Folks, find Christ afresh and anew. He walks on waters. He sits at the circle of the earth and makes his enemy his footstool. He sits at the throne ever interceding in our behalf. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could think or ask. Peter walked where the Master walked. I'm here glad this morning you're walking where the Master walks. And there's confidence, there's victory, and there's assurance. When Peter stepped out, he walked where no other man walked. No other man ever has been recorded that we know of walking on water without some kind of apparatus to help him to stay above the tide. But I want you to know when he walked there with no other man, it was an isolated journey for those first footsteps. And he came, and as his eyes were upon Jesus, something happened, folks. He walked on water. You can do great exploits when your eyes are on Jesus. The world is trying to make us turn our vision. They're changing our language. They're changing our sexuality. They're changing our destiny. Our nation is under crisis. My both grandparents came from Europe with a purpose to get away from communism, to get away from this stuff that America now is being infringed upon. Why? Because, folks, that's the journey of hell. That's the Antichrist. That's the false prophet. That's the spirit that now is in the children of disobedience. That is the spirit that is being vomited out of hell because Satan has given his last blast. But I've got good news for you. In the last days, he's going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh, and those that will go in the power and the might of the spirit, they're going to stand above every trial, every temptation, every wave that would cause you to drown, every wind that would be adverse, every cloud that would rush out, the sunshine, I said, is available in the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of his spirit. Peter walked where no other man walked. Nobody can walk where you walk. Don't criticize somebody else until you walk in their moccasins for 7 days. The old Indian expression is, can't say that anymore because that's non-kosher. But I said it anyhow because you see they're trying to change the language. Well, God has an answer. At Babel, they confused their languages. But on the day of Pentecost, he made it all happen again. And the power of the Holy Ghost is available. Someone praise the Lord. The devil understands Germany, understands all languages, every dialect, but he does not understand the language of the Holy Spirit. That's why I have to pray in tongues. That's why I haven't cast it aside and said it's a lesser gift. It's my communication that I have no infringement by hell itself. I stand in the glory and the presence of God. Someone reach out in faith. Walk where no other man walks. We want to question why God takes us on the journey we are. Stand fast. God chose that path for you and me expressly. There are no two snowflakes that are exactly the same. There's no grain of sand that are the same. Two oak trees. Nothing is exactly the same. God made you fearfully and wonderfully even before you were in your mother's womb. Come on, praise him in the house. Praise him in the house. Several years ago, I was holding a revival campaign in Kansas City, Missouri. By a miracle, I received an invitation to an executive presbyter who served in Springfield. But his church was in Kansas City, Blenheim Assembly, Brother Milton Beckett. I pulled our little motorhome up at that time behind the church and prayed, asked God to give us a direction for the service that Sunday morning. A very white-collar church, about twice the size of this building. And on that Sunday morning when I stepped into the service, about 400 people were there. It was so nice to see people there. They were greeting one another and meet a new segment of the body of Christ. And I was invited to the platform, and when I opened my Bible to look at my text that I felt I was going to preach, God spoke to me. Have you ever had dialogue with the Lord? He said, Wes, I want you to forgo what you've been studying. I let you do that on purpose so that you would have direction in yourself, but my direction is different this morning. He said, I want you to lead this church this morning in a Jericho march. Now, for you that don't know what a Jericho march is, it's when Joshua went around the city and the walls came down on the seventh day. Okay? Read the story and you'll find out. Well, some of our churches grabbed hold of that, and it was inspiring in years past. I hadn't been in a Jericho march, and I'm not one that just pushes things to happen to show that you're spiritual. Let God do your battle for you. Well, shout me down this morning, folks. I got enough gas to get back to Holly Lake. I sat there and I said, no, God, you can't have a Sunday morning Jericho march. Everybody's got their suits on and their hats and their diamonds. We've been singing the songs of the church, and everybody seems to be content and happy this morning. That's for the old generation. And God said, I want you to have a Jericho march. I want you to know I was not anxious for that pastor to give me the pulpit. I said, God, you just don't understand. Beautiful, eloquent introduction by the pastor. If you've ever read the Pentecostal Evangel, Brother Beckett has written several articles over the years when it was being published. Great, prolific writer. Great pastor. So on target, so transparent. And the church proved it by it being filled with people who are hungry for the things of God. He handed it to me, and now I had to do something. Either I had to take a whooping from God, or just preach a nice sermonette and everything okay, cool, and move on. God wanted revival. God wants revival for this community. God wants revival for this church. This is not a criticism. This is a collection of desire that God has for this church, for all of us to be raised up into a higher an affinity with Him. When you walk where the Master walks, it is joy unspeakable and full of glory. And when you will learn to walk where no other man walks because God has called you there, that's what happened. I didn't know what else to do. I stood there. I said, this is not on the pastor. This is not on the choir, the board members of this church. But this morning I've come from Texas all the way to Missouri. Just simply to tell you this, I don't quite understand it, folks. But I've got to be obedient to God. I said, we're going to have a Jericho march this morning. When I said that, you should have seen the elbows of wives hit and their husband in the rib cage, and people kind of looking and shuffling their feet around. They're wondering what's going on with this Texan coming up here telling us how to run business in the church. Hear me, folks, unless he leads the church, unless the Spirit and the anointing directs the church, we become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. But he's looking for an orchestration where we join forces with God, where the power of the Spirit of God begins to break forth, and the dead rise, and the blind see, and the lame walk, and those in the dictates of drugs have victory. And when sin and disease comes, it's canceled by the blood and the power and the anointing of the Spirit. Excuse me, folks, it's time for the church to rise up. We can't just depend on the Supreme Court or the Republicans or the Democrats or the Tea Party or the individuals or for Europe and NATO. I said this world is having war and conflict because hell is rattling the cage. But I want you to know, when the lion roars in the cage, I said there is one in the fourth man who comes, who knows how to close the mouth of the lion. Someone prays him in the house. The anointing breaks the yoke. And Peter, I began to realize this when he stepped out in faith. Church, rise up in your spirit. This is the day and the hour. We're closer now to the trump of God sounding and the dead in Christ rising. And you and I, which remain to be ever caught up into the presence of the Lord. That's the word of God. It is established from foundation to foundation, and it shall come to pass. Liars shall have their place in the lake of fire. Deceivers shall have their place in the lake of fire. But those who have been born by the power of the Spirit, who walk with God, are able to stand true to God by themselves in a personal journey. They shall inherit life everlasting and shall come inside inside the gate. I preached that not too long ago, right in this place. I took off around that building. It's a big building. I did lap one, Brother Mercer. And somebody in quadraphonic digitally processed stereo spoke into my earbuds without earbuds. And this is what he said. Fool, you're stupid. Look at what you've done. You've come all the way up here. Who's with you? The pastor's still on the platform and the associate pastor and the worship team and the orchestra. Second lap around. Fool, fool. On the fifth round, when I got about to this place from the platform, the associate pastor got off the platform. And one by one, people started filtering out. I was handed the platform somewhere around 11:20, 11:15. At 1:30 that afternoon, we left the house of the Lord. When God orchestrates, listen, Adolf Hitler used to take his baton and tap it, and the Boston Pops would instantly follow the guidance. He's here to guide us today, church. The Holy Spirit fell. Some of those ladies' hats fell on the floor. People got out of the aisles, and we were marching to Zion. 30 years later now, my cousin passes away in Kansas City. We go up for the funeral. His daughter comes to me and says, and my wife, and said, Wes and Letha, we're so glad you came to see Dad. Remember him for all the years of service he did in pastoring. This is the son of the pastor of that church I was talking about. She said, you and Wes have really blessed us over the years. And she said, I want you to know, I haven't told you this before, but do you remember the Jericho March in our church? Tammy just went through a great crisis with cancer. She's in heaven today. She said, I was 12 years old in that service. She's now in her 40s and early 50s. And she says, you won't understand this, but that Jericho March, that day, changed my life. And my best friend, Claire, it changed her life too. I just want you to know, she must have known a premonition that she was getting ready to leave this earth, and she wanted to testify. Folks, when you walk alone, the Master will walk with you, and eventually somebody's going to join rank and file with you who will step out in faith in Jesus Christ. A few years back, we got a new ladies director for the North Texas District, Clary Clarenshall. Letha hadn't met her, and at one of our meetings, she walked up to her and said, so nice to have you here. I understand you came from Springfield, Missouri. You headed our ladies' ministry up there at Springfield. Said, we're so glad to have you here in North Texas. She said, you're from Missouri, aren't you? And she said, yes. She said, you know, interesting, but we've got some relatives up in the Kansas City area. Do you by chance happen to know any pastors by the name of Beckett? She said, that's my home church. Well, then, if it's your home church, do you know my cousin by the name of she called the name. She said, that's my best friend. She said, do you remember a Jericho March at Blenheim Assembly? Oh, yes, I was in that service, and God changed my life forever. Folks, God wants to do something in every service that we assemble together. And if we'll step out in faith, something will happen. Stand to your feet. When you do that, you walk where the Master walks. You walk where no other man or woman walks. Sometimes it's alone. Enoch walked with God, and it was a walk of translation. Noah walked with God, and it was a walk of transition. Enoch went instantly, but Noah stayed for 100 years and built an ark. Whatever it is, be faithful to God. And because he did that, you walk where miracles are wrought. Letha and I have been on a journey this last year, returning to places we've ministered. Back in October, we were standing in our first church we pastored in Joanna Mill Village, South Carolina. We were there 3 years, and the district asked us to take another large church there, and we moved on. And on occasion, I'd get a call from the pastor of that church, and we go back and hold revivals. And I was asked to come back and hold a revival probably about 12 years after I'd left. I knew some of the people there, but on that Sunday morning when we were standing around the altar, there was a couple standing in front of me, and the Lord spoke again. And he said, tell them their son's all right. First thing I did is look for wedding rings. We live in a wonderful year and day today that anything seems to go, but I wanted to see if they were first of all married. And then I kind of staggered around and I kind of delayed a little bit. I had that dialogue again with the Lord. You don't want to step out sometimes in faith because it's bold and it's bull-faced. That's all I can say. I finally got up enough mustard and I said, now, I don't know you folks. I'd never met them before. Nice looking couple. I said, God spoke this in my spirit to tell you this, that your son is okay. And when I said that, they both hit the floor, crying like babies. What I didn't know, their son had committed some felonies, and the FBI was after him. And for 5 or 6 years, he'd send a postcard, give it to a trucker in New York, and say, when you get to California, drop it in the mailbox. They hadn't heard from him in 6 years. Didn't know where they were at. That weekend, they moved to a little community about 18 miles from the church there at Joanna in Newberry, South Carolina. Hadn't even had the water hookup yet and the electricity. They'd moved all the boxes overnight, and they were getting ready to get everything set up on Monday. They came to church that Sunday with a need in their heart. And when God spoke that word to them, they both cried convulsively. Their son had committed crime and they didn't know where he was at. They left that service late that Sunday and we talked about it, and they said, we were looking forward to hearing from our son. They drove up to the new house after they went and got a hamburger Sunday afternoon. And when they looked on the front porch, there's a stranger sitting on their front porch. Long hair, big beard, rags, a street person. Dad said, I wonder who he is. I hope he hasn't broken into the house to steal something. They got closer and closer, and all of a sudden, Mom's eye caught the eye of that stranger sitting on the porch. She bonded instantly because she had carried that eyes in her womb. She said, that's our son. That's Mike. And when she spoke the name, he said, Mom and Dad, I'm here. Oh, folks, you talk about a camp meeting. Glad to see their son. They hadn't seen in 6 years. Want you to know he came back to church that night, got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. The power and the might of the Spirit.